नारायण ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवी सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नास्तप्रियेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवदा सेवया भगवति उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भावती नैष्ठिके श्रीमद्भागवतम् फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 31 एंटाइटल्ड नारदा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स द प्रचेतास श्रियं मनुच्चरति तत् अर्थिनश्च श्रियं मनुच्चरति तत् अर्थिनश्च द्विपादपटिं विबुधांश्च यत् स्वपूर्णः द्विपरपठिन् विबुधांश्च यत् स्वपूर्णा न भजति निजावृत्त्या वर्गतन्त्र न भजति निजावृत्त्या वर्गतन्त्र कथं अमुम् अद्विसृजत् पुमान कृतज्ञा कथम अमुम अद्विसृजत् पुमान कृतज्ञा श्रियं द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्च्यून अनुचरतिं हु फॉलोज हिम तत् of her, Artina, those who aspire to get the favor, cha, and dviparapatim, rulers of the human beings, vibudhan, demigods, cha, also, yet, because, swapurna, self-sufficient, na, never, bhajati, cares for, nija, own, britya varga, honest devotees, tatra, dependent, katham, how, amum, him, udvishrijat, can give up. Puman, a person. Kritagya, grateful. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, he becomes dependent on his devotees. He does not care for the goddess of fortune, nor for the kings and demigods who are after the favors of the goddess of fortune. Where is that person who is actually grateful and will not worship the personality of Godhead? Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is worshipped by all materialistic men, including big kings and demigods in heaven. Lakshmi, however, is always after the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he does not require her service. Brahma Sangita says that the Lord is worshipped by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, but the Supreme Lord does not require service from any of them, because if he so desires, he can produce millions of goddesses of fortune through his spiritual energy, the pleasure potency. This very personality of Godhead out of his causeless mercy, becomes dependent on the devotees. How fortunate, then, is a devotee who is thus favored by the personality of Godhead. What ungrateful devotee will not worship the Lord and enter into his devotional service? Actually, a devotee cannot forget his obligation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even for a single moment. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that both the Supreme Lord and his devotee are rasajna, full of transcendental humor. The mutual attachment between the Supreme Lord and his devotee is never to be considered material. It always exists as a transcendental fact. There are 8 types of transcendental ecstasy, known as bhava, anubhava, sthayi bhava, and so on. And these are discussed in the Nectar of Devotion. Those who are unaware of the position of the living entity and the Supreme Person, Krishna, think that the mutual attachment between the Lord and his devotees is a creation of the material energy. Factually, such attachment is natural, both for the Supreme Lord and for the devotee, and it cannot be accepted as material. Omigyanatimarandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavan Ishwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavo Vebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shriyam manucharatim tat artinascha dviparapatin vibhuram schayasva purna na bhajati nijabritya vargatantra katam amum advishrijat puman krittagyaha. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, he becomes dependent on his devotees. He does not care for the goddess of fortune, nor for the kings and demigods who are after the favors of the goddess of fortune. Where is that person who is actually grateful and will not worship the personality of Godhead? In the material world, everyone wants the favor of the goddess of fortune. And we call money, we call it also Lakshmi. Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune, but also money. And everyone is after that, because money means power in the material world. You can buy things for sense gratification. You can control people. And so that is what everyone wants. And money is the honey, like that. But a devotee understands that that is not real happiness. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself praying as a devotee, says in the Shikshastaka, O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth. Nor do I desire any beautiful woman, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your costless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. That is how a devotee thinks. He doesn't want that. He only wants devotional service. Because he knows the value, because the real happiness is in the soul, is in the love that he can experience in his relationship with Krishna. And even then, Lakshmi might be there also, because where there is Vishnu, there is always Lakshmi. She is always serving the lotus feet of Vishnu. And so we can see it with Srila Prabhupada. He came to the West with just a little bit money. I think he had 40 rupees. Yeah? And he also sold a set of Bhagavatams. He had two translations, huh? To the captain of the ship on the Jaladuta, and he got $20 or something like that. So he had only $27 in total, I guess, something like that. So that is not much money when you go to America. The New Yorkers would have said probably peanuts. Yeah, like that. You can't even pay the parking lot in New York with that, probably nowadays. But anyway, but then Prabhupada said, and then I just depended on Krishna, and I just tried to please my spiritual master, and then now I have millions of dollars in the form of temples and cars and offices and etc., etc., like that. So we can find two significant words in this verse. Basically, two points are made here in the verse and also in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. We find a very significant word, swapurna, which means that self-sufficient. Krishna is self-sufficient. And sometimes Krishna is also called Swaraja, which means he is independent. Swaraja means independence. This word was used by Gandhi also. And he was having a policy of going to jail, but it was voluntary, actually. And this way, he could get a lot of power and followers and beyond expectation, you know. So Krishna also comes to the material world, but not because he's forced, like someone who is forced to go to jail. No, he comes, he's independent. He can do whatever he pleases. And he is self-sufficient. Then another word used in this verse is Britya Varga Tantra. He becomes dependent. On who? On his devotees. So he is dependent and also independent. Independent of anything. But out of his free will, out of love, he becomes dependent on his devotees. So I can explain a little bit about self-sufficiency of the Lord. How is he self-sufficient? Because he is the creator of everything. Everything is consisting of his energy. Anything. And we can find the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all the material and the spiritual worlds. And actually everything emanates from me. And the wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So everything comes from the Lord. And then he is the controller. Param Ishvara, the supreme controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is also sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes, and he himself has no cause. No one is equal to him. No one is superior to him. the supreme controller, and he is also the maintainer. By his will, not even a blade of grass could move if he is not sanctioning it. So whatever happens is controlled by him. In the material world, everything is controlled because he enters as Paramatma into each atom. And even within between the atoms, he is everywhere. So, and he is also the knower of everything. He is in full, perfect, omniscience, consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, he can create millions of goddesses of fortune through his spiritual energy, the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. And we have, every morning we sing the Brahma Sangeeta when we greet the deities. And Lord Brahma sings very beautifully. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashanti panti kalyanti shiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sat ujvala vigrahasya govinda madipurusham tamaham bhajame. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. So, we are always limited by the laws of nature in time and space, the relativity theory of Einstein. Everything exists in time and space, and we are relative, and everything is relative. We are controlled by 33 million different types of demigods, all kinds of laws of nature, the law of gravity, the law of so many laws are there. And but Krishna, he can do anything. He's not controlled either by space or by time. He's not limited, unlimited. So now here it is said in this prayer from the Brahma Sangeeta that he can do everything with his senses. So that means also he is independent even of biophysical laws. Can you imagine? We need our eyes to see, or our hands to work with, or our feet to carry us around. But Krishna doesn't require that. His form is not a bioorganism. His form is none different. The soul and the body are one. So his form is soul, super soul. And he can do with all his senses anything he wants. I know, but we are limited like that. So in this way he is also independent, and even of his own senses. We are not. We are controlled by the senses, the mind, the false ego. Our intelligence is failing us, you know. But Krishna, for him, that is unlimited. It's unlimited. Yeah. Self-sufficient, okay. Self-sufficiency means that he control everyone and everything. All the time. He can create anything, whatever he desires. Beautiful art, the most sophisticated technology, you know, Whatever you find in nature is in itself an incredible miracle. Even a cell is a great miracle. So he can create whatever he wants. And he doesn't need to ask a license if he wants to create something. Or permission from the government. From any demigod even. You know? And he can enjoy unlimitedly. For him there is no limit in his enjoyment. Ramanta. An unlimited source of happiness. Ever increasing. You know. And he also knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know at any time. You know, all our thoughts, all our feelings, and all the knowledge. And so Krishna is beyond the limitations. Maya prakriti suyate satsaracharam. The entire cosmic manifestation works under his direction. So he really doesn't depend on us. And he doesn't require our help. You know. But, you know, in the second part, this word Britya Varga Tantra, he becomes dependent on his devotees. Why is that? That is the sweetness of Krishna. So, but what can we do for him? What is interesting for him? What can we give him? Because he possesses already everything, and he is so great, and we are so small, so tiny, so insignificant. Like Malati said the other day, she explained very nicely how small we are. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam tuyam yome bhakcha prayachati aham bhaktyu paritam ashnami prayatatmataha manaha. If one offers me with love and devotion, bhaktyu paritam, with love and devotion, a fruit, a leaf, a flower, or water, I shall accept it. But Krishna doesn't require a flower because he creates millions of beautiful flowers. And also no leaf, because can you imagine how many leaves there are on all the trees in all the universes? It's quite a lot, isn't it? So one small leaf, Krishna refers to Tulasi, the leaf of Tulsi. He wants that. And a fruit also. There's a lot of fruit in the universe. So, but if we offer that, what's the use in one sense? But what Krishna wants is that he wants us to express our love and devotion to him. There was once a Brahmin, and he came to a gathering where Vaishnavas were hearing Krishna Katha. And there, the point was made that even if you have nothing to offer to Krishna, if you're very poor, if you're poverty-stricken, then you can offer something in your mind. And so this Brahman was poor, and he thought, let's try it out. And he started to meditate. In a deep meditation he went, and he was imagining in his mind that he was buying all kinds of ingredients to cook nice sweet rice for Krishna. Then he went to the market and purchased rice, and he milked the cow, and he got some milk and some sugar, and then he started to boil the milk. And you know, sweet rice has to be cold. It has to be very nicely cold when it is served. So at the end of the process, he was checking whether the sweet rice was cold enough to offer to Krishna. So in his meditation, he put his finger in the rice, sweet rice, and then, ouch, he burnt his finger, and then he came out of his meditation, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And he noticed that his finger was injured. It was red and burning. And then he heard some laughing above his head somewhere. And so then he noticed that Lord Vishnu came. He cracked a joke on him. And so Lord Vishnu said, well, you're welcome to get on Garuda. I will bring you back home, back to Godhead. And then, so the moral of this story is that even the essence, that is what Krishna wants, the devotion, even if it is a mental fantasy, then still it becomes very real for Krishna. And it becomes real for us too, because the real reality is going back to Godhead. And so Krishna, he likes our affection, priti, and our love, prema. Bhakta priya, Krishna priya. The devotee is there to Krishna, and Krishna is there to the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada also says here in the purport at the end, factually, such attachment is natural both for the Supreme Lord and for the devotee, and it cannot be accepted as material. It is natural, because what is it? Mamayvamsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are part and parcels of Krishna. Just as the body is a part of our parents, and it's very natural to feel affection for parents, and for the parents to feel affection for the children, because you are made out of the same nature. And so similarly, the soul, because he is a part and parcel of Krishna, therefore this affection between Krishna and the soul is natural. And that is wanted. And so there is a principle called Bhava Grahi Janardana, that the Lord accepts the essence of a devotee's attitude. That is what Krishna is interested in. We can do so many rituals and perform so many duties, but Krishna is more interested in the essence of that, the attitude that we have. Britya Varga Tantra, he becomes dependent on his devotees. And how does Krishna become dependent on us? When we perform deity worship, the whole process of deity worship, we can think, yeah, now Krishna becomes dependent. I have to do my duties. I have to make sure I serve Krishna properly. And Krishna accepts that deity worship. He is so kind that he allows us to start serving him already in the material world. And by the process of worship, we can go back to the spiritual world and continue seeing Krishna face to face and serve him. But now we see him in the Arja Vigraha form. We can wake him up in the morning. Sometimes the guests, they come and they ask, but why are you doing that? Putting him to rest, offering him food, dressing him like that, 100 outfits. Why? And then I tell them, because that helps us to realize that Krishna is a person, that God is a person, and to develop our personal feelings with him. And he becomes manifested as the Supreme Personality of Godhead through this process. We call this process Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti means devotional service, and yoga means to unite with the Supreme, to link up with the Supreme. True devotional service, like that. I explain like that to the people. We offer sweets to him, mandalatic sweets. The first thing Krishna does when he wakes up, he hears some nice sweet prayers, and then he starts to enjoy sweets. And we can think Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. He should enjoy sweets when he wakes up, because he likes sweets. And then we can bathe him, dress him, decorate him, clean his temple, offer artics, and seven times a day we can offer wonderful boga to him. And we sing and dance and play musical instruments for him. We put him to rest in the evening. And we take him out on Parikram. We can take him out on the Ratha Yatra. And we can spread his glories by singing his holy names in every town and village. And we can preach and distribute books. And but when the devotee becomes very advanced, he comes to the Raga Nuga platform. He can go farther than that. Then he can serve him in a still more intimate way in five different rasas. And sometimes he becomes subordinate. Krishna becomes subordinate. He allows himself to become controlled by the devotees, like Partha Sarathi. He is called Krishna, is called like that, because he becomes the charioteer of Arjuna. It's like a chauffeur, you know. He becomes a, you know, normally a chauffeur is, no, the cab, the taxi cab. I don't consider him very high class. He's just a humble servant, you know. But Krishna becomes humble like that. And Arjuna tells him where to go. Krishna, I want to go there, between both armies, like that. And when he is a small child, he is doing that already. He is carrying the slippers of Nanda Maharaj on his head. He gets his slippers for his father, and he puts them on his head. You know, usually we cannot touch our feet to the head of God, or our shoes. But Nanda Maharaj is so advanced that he can become the father of Krishna, and he puts his slippers on his lotus head. And then he is even punished sometimes, punished by Mother Yashoda with a stick, and she ties him up with ropes. You punish the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he makes them think also that they have to take care of him and protect him. All the devotees in Vrindavan, the elderly persons, they worry about Krishna. When Kaliya poisonous the Yamuna River, or when other demons come, they're really much in anxiety. Something harmful might happen to Krishna. And like that, you know. But it goes even further, you know. Srimati Radharani, she controls Krishna completely. Krishna allows himself to be completely controlled by her love, you know. And therefore, Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini. Madan Mohan means that Krishna, he is enchanting millions of cupids. Normally we are in the power of Cupid. We fall in love with someone and we are lost. Fall in the dark ditch of... Anyway, that's... Okay. But Krishna... Krishna makes millions of cupids fall in the dark ditch. But then Radharani, she doesn't make Krishna fall in the dark ditch. No. She will control Krishna by her love. So, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya is also in the prayers of the Brahma Sangita. So then Krishna, he becomes indebted to his devotees for their unalloyed love for him. And he does all kinds of things for his devotees. Like when Draupadi had a problem, they wanted to take her dress away in public. Then Krishna came and provided unlimited sari for her. Draupadi sari. So, and there are many instances where Krishna is doing things for his devotees. So, That is the most wonderful thing that exists in the entire existence, that we can become intimate with the Supreme, and that He even feels indebted to our devotion, that He is so kind, that He becomes dependent on us. That is a most wonderful thing. And I can read the verse one more time, because it's a wonderful verse. All the verses are wonderful, but sometimes we think this verse is really wonderful. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, He becomes dependent on His devotees. He does not care for the goddess of fortune, nor for the kings and demigods who are after the favors of the goddess of fortune. Where is that person who is actually grateful and will not worship the personality of Godhead? So Paramdrishtva, the higher taste, is to experience this reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then some emotions can come out of that after some time. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here also, there are 8 types of transcendental ecstasy known as bhava, anubhava, sthayi bhava. So in the higher stages of spiritual life, the bhava is experienced. But even a beginner sometimes can experience some emotions that keeps us convinced. Once there was a devotee, Gurudas, I saw Prabhupada memories on an old videotape, Gurudas, and Prabhupada asked a question to the devotees. He said, how can you prove the existence of Krishna? And then the devotees, they said, because it's in the Bhagavad Gita. And no, Prabhupada said. And some other proposals were there. And then Srila Prabhupada said, because you feel the ecstasy. And then some years later in another place, Srila Prabhupada asked the same questions, and nobody knew the right answer. And then Gurudas thought, now I have the right answer. And then he said, because we experience ecstasy. And then Srila Prabhupada said, no, because it's in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, there was some kind of transcendental paradox, you know. Paradox means a seeming controversy. Controversial. Yeah, seemingly. So transcendental, that's transcendental. But it's a fact that when we experience some blissful feeling, that is really a proof. And it can be so intense that even if we don't get that bliss for many years, we always keep longing for that, to experience that again. And we really know that this is the higher taste. Nothing in this world compares to this bliss in Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? It's very convincing. So, and even a unified devotee can experience some nice emotions, and that proves that it is not imagined, it's real. Okay, thank you very much for being so enthusiastically attentive. Are there any comments or questions?
Assembly of devotees, the ecstasy was brought up because it was more needed and the other they didn't stress out the importance of Bhagavad Gita and see Krishna in Bhagavad Gita.
Very nice, thank you. That's very enlightening. Yes. Yeah, that's known. Yeah, many devotees experience that. Many devotees have been interviewed speaking Prabhupada memories. And you see it very often that they said, Srila Prabhupada knew what I thought. And it was very, very clear, you know. And he could understand, you know, what is on your mind and in your heart. There are examples, it doesn't come to my mind, but there are many, many, many occasions where that happened. A pure devotee is in connection with the super soul in harmony, so he... Krishna tells him, dictates. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, have a nice Krishna conscious, enthusiastic day. Granta Rāj Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.